Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation and also from the book of Genesis. So I'm going to begin by reading from the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 21 through 24 of Genesis 3. And then we'll be turning to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, the last book or last chapter of the last book in the Bible. But we're going to begin this morning in Genesis 3. And keep in mind as well that in your bulletins we have an insert that I have put an outline of this morning's message, which will aid you as you follow along this morning. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word as we find it in Genesis 3, verses 21 through 24. This is the word of God. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And then if you'll turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible, and I'll be reading the verses 1 through 5 of Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in Genesis 3 and Revelation chapter 22. When we think of the tree of life in the Bible, we think of a tree that is past and a tree that is in the future. When we think of the tree of life past, we think to the very beginning of the Bible, the beginning chapters of Genesis concerning the Garden of Eden and the tree of life that was in that garden where Adam and Eve were at creation. When we think of the tree of life future, we think of the tree of life that appears in the very last chapters of the Bible, the tree of life that we see pictured for us in Revelation 22 in heaven, where we hope to arrive someday. But do you understand this morning that not only is the tree of life something for the past and something for the future, but the tree of life is available to you even today. Let's begin this morning with the first appearance of the tree of life in the Bible. In the first part of the book of Genesis, there are many trees mentioned in the Garden of Eden, but two particular trees are singled out: the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. In Genesis chapter 2, we read of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In verse 15 of Genesis 2, we're told that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are to eat from, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. In Genesis chapter 3, the verses we read for our scripture reading, we read of another tree that is singled out in the garden. We're told in verse 22 that the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and live forever." So two trees are singled out in the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And the path to the tree of life goes through the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve's obedience to God in not eating of that tree will give them access to the tree of life. And so as we read in verse 22 of Genesis 3, when God sees that man has now eaten of the tree and he knows good and evil, God declares he must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. That is because God knows that now that man has sinned, and now that man has eaten of that tree, he cannot have access to the tree of life, lest he remain in his state of sin and under the curse forever. So in verse 23 of Genesis 3, the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. What is going on in our text? The Lord, by an act of grace, has driven Adam and Eve from the garden. The fact that they cannot eat of the tree and do not have access to the tree in their sinful state is a matter of grace from God, that God would provide a way that they could once again have access to eat of the tree of life and to live forever without the curse of sin. But God would have to make a plan, a mediator, so they could go and dwell with Him again. Verse 24 reminds us that the Garden of Eden is a sanctuary of God. It is a place where God and man would dwell together. And now that man has been driven out, as he looks toward the entrance of that place, there are the heavenly angels guarding the entrance. There is the flaming sword representing God's holiness, for nothing holy can enter that place and be with a holy God, guarding the way of the east gate and guarding the way to the tree of life. Now, sometimes you may have people ask you, what is the Bible really about? And sometimes a non-Christian might say to you, if they tried to answer the question, well, it's a list of rules, it's a list of laws, that's all it is, it's just a rule book. Or maybe somebody who's a Christian might say to you, well, it's a way that we can read about how to improve our life here on earth. Practical steps, biblical principles God gives us to improve our marriage or our lives. Now, it's true, the Bible does include moral principles. But as we recognize the Bible from its beginning to the end, it's clear what the main point is. Man has been driven out of the garden as sinners, and man desires to be with God and have access to the tree of life. That's the story of the entire Bible between Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3 all the way to Revelation 22. So let's go to the end of the Bible now in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. And let's look at the tree of life, which now is no longer past, but is put before you in the future. In Revelation chapters 21 and 22, we have been reading about the New Jerusalem. We have been told that not only is the future dwelling place a fulfilled Garden of Eden, sanctuary of God, a place even greater, it is a fulfilled temple of God of the Old Testament, but this place is an entire city of God, an entire city that represents the New Jerusalem, the dwelling place between God and His people. And you notice in verse 12 of Revelation 21 that there are angels and gates. Verse 12 tells us that as John sees it, it had a great high wall with a precious jewel. With 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So there are the angels again, representing that this is a holy place of God, an angel at each gate, just like we saw in Genesis chapter 3. But now as you go to Revelation 22, we are told that once again, entering into the Scriptures and put before you is the tree of life. From the very beginning of Scripture, Genesis, all the way to Revelation 22, the tree of life only appears in those places. There is mention in the wisdom literature, in particular the Proverbs, about the tree of life. But as far as it being pictured and placed within Scripture, it is found at the beginning of the Bible, the tree of life past, and at the end of the Bible, the tree of life future. As John looks into heaven in Revelation 22 now, as he looks at this holy city, he sees the river. The river which we described last week as being present in the garden. Now it flows from the throne of God down the streets of the city in heaven. And there now in verse 2 we read that on each side of the river stood the tree of life. John is bringing together for you these two particular themes found in the garden imagery. The river of God flowing from God and the tree of life there in the presence of God in heaven. But why does the tree of life appear only in those two places? In Genesis 3 and then as we find it in Genesis or in Revelation 22. And now that we've come to the end of the Bible, now we've come to the place where we long to go and to be with God. How is it then that man now has access to that tree? That tree he has been banned from the very beginning of the Bible. That tree where, as a sinner, he was not allowed to go and to eat from that tree, lest he be in sin and cursed under sin forever and ever. How is it that man can now, at the very end of the biblical story, enter into a place, a city of God, and have access to eat of the tree of life? If you remember, way back in Genesis chapter 3, God had to do something. As Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, having eaten of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, they became sinners and could not dwell with a holy God. They tried to cover themselves with leaves, but the leaves were not good enough to cover their nakedness. And God tells us in verse 21 of Genesis 3 that He made garments of skin for Adam and Eve, and He clothed them. Blood had to be shed. Blood had to be shed. The leaves of the trees were not good enough. The blood of animals had to be shed for their nakedness to be covered, for their sin to be covered. And all throughout the Old Testament story, we are reminded again and again of the need for the shedding of blood. As the patriarchs offered their sacrifices to God, as God established the tabernacle with the wilderness people, as God established His temple through Solomon, as He established the Old Testament worship of God through the sacrifices and the blood of animals. Man was reminded that he was a sinner and he could not enter the presence of a holy God, the Holy of Holies, though the curtain of the temple had the picture of a tree on it, representing the tree of life. Man could not go into that place, but the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement. When the New Testament era began, God fulfilled all those sacrifices. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. God sent His very Son, the God-man, Jesus Christ, down to earth to die on the cross as the Lamb of God. God's Son, Jesus Christ, suffered death on the cross. His blood was spilt so that the sins of His people could once for all be washed away. And this washed away sinner could now enter in to the presence of God. As you go on in Revelation chapter 22, this is explained to us very carefully in verse 14 of our text. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Our Lord Jesus has gone before His people. Our Lord Jesus has passed through the sword. Our Lord Jesus, who did not sin, has taken the sins of His people upon Himself. And all those who by faith believe that He died for their sins are washed away. Their robes are washed and made perfectly righteous. And they, verse 14, now have the right to the tree of life and may pass through the gates where angels stand, representing the holiness of God. They may now pass through those gates and enter the city. And so when John sees this vision in Revelation 22, John sees the river, John sees the tree, and once again, the people of God are in the presence of God and have access to the tree of life, the tree of eternal life. And they are not driven out. They are not prevented from eating of it anymore. For the curse is gone. Their sins are gone. And they are in the fullness of God's redemption plan. You ask yourself again, what is the purpose of the Bible? Why did God give it to us? All the way from the very beginning of Scripture, when man has become a sinner and is driven out from the tree, all throughout Scripture we see God's redemptive plan so that man once again can have access to the tree. And now as we come to Revelation 22, the fullness of God's plan is complete. Evil and Satan is destroyed, and John is now given the picture of the heavenly place, of the tree of life, where God's people will dwell with Him forever and ever. As you look at that tree in verse 2, what more do you see? We're told that the river was on each side of the river stood the tree of life. And then it tells us that it was bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. What does that mean? 12 crops of fruit. Now we have to recognize that God is again using anthropomorphic language. He is using man-made imagery so that we can understand. We know that there is no time in heaven. We know there are not 12 months of the year in heaven as we now know them now. But God sees that upon this tree, what He's telling us, are 12 crops of fruit yielding its fruit every single month. That means that this eternal life from the tree of life is an eternal life that is given to you. That means for God's people, it doesn't expire, this tree, only a few months of the year it bears fruit, and then it waits a few months until you can have access and eat of it again. This tree, which is bearing 12 crops of fruit for 12 months of the year, indicates that this life, this eternal life, will never run out. There will always be fruit upon this tree for God's people to eat. There will never be a time when there is no fruit. This eternally faithful tree. This is God's redemptive plan. This is the fulfillment of God's plan for all of His people. This is the place that all the saints, from the book of Genesis to this very day, where they have longed to go and to be. But do you remember how at the beginning of the sermon we stated that this tree of life, is available even now? This tree of life, which we described as the tree which is in the past, in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve, that's not available to us anymore, it seems. That tree of life, which in Revelation 22 is described as the future, as where we long to be and have access to again someday. But what about now? Is that tree only for us to think about past and future? If you notice, the next phrase in verse 2 tells us that the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, sometimes when people read that phrase, they say, well, what does that mean? The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. How could anybody from the nations be there unless there was no sin and no sickness and no pain anymore? Because this verse recognizes two things. On the one hand, it's a reminder that there is no curse in heaven. On the other hand, it is a reminder that this tree is available to God's people even now. If you go back to the earlier in the book of Revelation, you will notice that the tree of life is mentioned one other time in this book. In Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus is hearing a message from our Savior. Remember, at the beginning of the book of Revelation, we have the Son of Man who is speaking to the churches on earth, the seven churches that are still on earth. He is speaking to the people of God who are still on earth. And in the letter to Ephesus in Revelation 2, he is scolding the people. He is telling them that they have forsaken their first love in verse 4. He is calling them to repent and to do the things they had once done, and warns them that if they do not repent, the lampstand will be removed from their church. And there at the end of that letter in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 7, we read this. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. God is calling through our Savior's words His people to be overcomers. And to be overcomers means that they have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they live their lives for Jesus Christ. And because they have become overcomers, because they haven't given in to the cultural sins, and their focus is heaven and Jesus, God tells us that He will give, our Lord will give, the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. But remember, in Revelation chapter 2, He is speaking present and He is speaking future. Yes, He means that if you are an overcomer, If you have your faith in Christ, someday when you get to heaven, you will eat of the tree of life. But the implication here is more than that. The implication of our Lord is that even now, He will give you, as you live on this earth, He will give overcomers the right to eat from the tree of life. How do you do that? How? Where's the tree? How can we eat it? How can we taste? Listen to the words of our Savior in John chapter 1, verse 4. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. John 5, verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it. 1 John 5, verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Our Savior is the tree of life. Just as we saw in last week's sermon, that river of life, which now on earth is available to us through Jesus Christ, who declares that He is the water of life. So throughout Scripture, our Savior has declared Himself as life. Life is found through Him. And those who have their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, those who know and participate in the means of grace that He has given to His people, they are tasting and eating of the tree of life. Do you now understand the words that are said in Revelation 22, the end of that verse, verse 2, where it says, the curse will be removed, where it says, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Not just Jews are eating of this tree, not just Gentiles and Jews are eating of this tree, but all of God's people are eating of this tree. As God's people participate in the means of grace, in the preaching of the Word, in the teaching of the Word, in the reading of the Word, in their prayers, in their sacraments that they partake of in their worship service on the Lord's Day, they are participating in eating spiritually of the tree of life. Now you may say to yourself, wait a minute, I don't feel like I'm chewing or eating or swallowing something, but except for the sacrament, how is it that I'm eating of something that tastes like the tree of life? Because you are being fed through those means by our Savior. You are being fed by His grace. Remember what we said about heaven, that in this verse, chapter 22, verse 2, God is using anthropomorphic language. He is using descriptions in this book that we can understand, that we can appreciate. And our Savior represents that tree of life. Our Savior is life. Our Savior gives us life. Our Savior feeds us. Our Savior gives us nourishment, His Spirit, which is poured out on us, resurrects us, and takes away the curse and our sins. Our Savior has given us life. And as you look at verse 19 of Revelation 22, we are reminded again of the importance of this tree of life. John tells us in verse 19 of Revelation 22, and if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Again, emphasizing that the tree of life is available to us now. The means of grace which come to us from our Lord come to us so that we can find the spiritual strength, the spiritual nourishment, the eternal life that only God can give to us through our Savior, even now, and long for its fulfillment someday in heaven. If you deprive yourselves of these things, the preaching and teaching of God's Word, the reading of His Word, prayer, and the sacraments, you will feel spiritually starved. You will feel spiritually hungry. You will wonder if you have life through our Savior. And so we read in Revelation 2 and Revelation 22 of the warning that this tree of life is a privilege, that the means of grace that God gives to His people is a great privilege, and you must eat and you must drink, lest the lamp, the light, fade from among you. Let us eat and drink of the tree of life even now. Let us recognize the joy that our Savior has accomplished for us, going through the cherubim, passing through the sword in His death on the cross, resurrected to everlasting life, so that we can go someday and be there with Him. Let us, as His people, participate in the eating of the tree of life even now through His means of grace, longing to be there with Him forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we rejoice this morning in the reminder of the tree of life which is in heaven. Lord, as we have been given Your Word, as we have been given instructions concerning the meaning of that Word, we know and understand, Lord, that we belong to You. We know and understand that You have blessed us by Your Spirit with an understanding of things that Old Testament saints only had a shadow picture of. We have seen the full redemption plan of our Savior. We know of an eternal place that You have for us, a place of eternal life. Lord, remind us as we live in this world that our home is not here, but to long for the eating of the food of this tree which You have given us even now. May our hearts long for Your Word as it is read and proclaimed. May our hearts long to participate in the sacraments of the church which You have given us. May our hearts be driven to pray to You, knowing the great privilege it is to communicate with You and our Savior and the love that You have given us. Lord, grant us these things that we may find spiritual strength and life even now. Let us put our faith not in ourselves, but only in our Savior who has brought us to that place. May we live for You. May we give You all the praise and the glory as we live now, as we long for eternal life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.